this was my identity.
Nobody talks about how freaking hard it is to be a dentist. What most people talk about is how this affects the patient. What nobody talks about is how this affects us. Dentistry is ready for this. Now is really the time. Welcome back to Wellness and Dentistry. We are excited to have you back here today. You are here with both of your hosts. I am Dr. Kyle Stanley. I'm a dentist, a tech entrepreneur, a speaker, and a researcher. And I'm joined by my very good friend and your co-host, Dr. Martin Mendelson. He is a disabled dentist, a coach, a speaker, and a thought leader. Together, Martin and I have helped thousands of dental professionals around the world pursue wellness and dentistry. And today is going to be a great show. We're going to talk to you about how one is greater than zero, really the power of incremental growth in dentistry. And I was thinking about this the other day. I was actually talking to a dentist, and he is interested in transitioning out of clinical dentistry. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, Kyle, you transitioned out of clinical dentistry. Like, how did you do it? And I said, it took me 7 years.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, I thought it was like, you just decided and that was it. And I was like, no, it was 7 years. And I wasn't even planning on doing it, really. It was like, it just kind of happened to me. But it's one of those examples of incremental growth or change. You know, I don't know if it's necessarily growth in my, from what I did, but it's change for sure. An incremental change can be so powerful.
Absolutely. I mean, I it's funny because I get that question too. I was just at a speaker conference this past weekend, and I got the question a couple times. How did you start speaking, and or how long have you been speaking? And I was chuckling, like, well, it's a journey, not a destination. It all started, blah blah blah. And you know, it's like a lot of things in life, things just start to happen. And I think that goes to our theme, if you will, of the day, which is one is greater than zero, because it's not like you go from, you know, obscurity to playing stadiums, you know, to use like a rock band example. That's not the way it works. You spend all this time in small clubs and playing in front of like two or three people. And you look at that dude, Matt Rife. He's like a comedian, he's a younger guy.
Not to interrupt you, to interrupt you, but he was the highest paid comedian of the year.
Yeah.
Like more than Jerry Seinfeld, more than Kevin Hart, more.
He and Taylor Swift broke Ticketmaster in 2024 independently. But he often says, and I give him a lot of credit for reminding people, because he's doing more of a service than I think he may even realize, because he was doing stand-up comedy for like 11 or 14 years.
Wow.
He said, my success was not overnight. He said the large exposure basically was through TikTok, but the career wasn't overnight. And I think so many of us forget that. And, you know, we're on social media and we look at people's highlight reels. And I mean, shoot, you and I, in full transparency, have had this conversation. You have gobs of followers. I don't. You've been at this longer. Yeah. And, you know, you put more time and effort into it. And so one is greater than zero. And so I know we're going to talk today about this concept, not only clinically, but in your personal life, in your business life, within your practice, all of those kind of areas, right?
Yeah, and where this idea came up from was I was listening to a podcast the other day, and they had on this cowboy, and he was talking about, his name is Dry Creek Dwayne, and and they were he was talking about how he didn't used to be such a great person, like he wasn't. Like he was very reactive.
Okay.
And he made a big change in his life, and he's become what sounds like a really great person. Mm-hmm. But what he said, which really kind of struck me, which is why I wrote it down, was if you think about negative numbers and positive numbers, right? So let's say positive five to negative five. Mm-hmm. If he was at a negative five, a lot of people want to get to positive five.
Yeah.
And he said, no, I just wanted to get to negative four.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
This, I think, why it struck me was because when I was in burnout, I was at negative five, And of course, I wanted to get to positive five,
Yeah.
but I had to go through the steps of getting to negative four. Like, you know, for
Yes.
me, and how you and I talk about this in our live courses, is having that awareness first. Like, me just having the awareness of where I was in my life, what I was good at, what I was bad at, that already took me from negative five to negative four.
Absolutely. Yeah, 100%. And you and I were talking before we hit record. I mean, I use scaling questions with my coaching clients all the time. And yeah, there's so many things when I was being trained that really struck me. And this is probably one of the top five, which is when you ask somebody, you know, how do you feel about this situation where you are in your clinical prowess, your practice, product, whatever, you know, scale from 1 to 10. 1 being terrible, 10 being amazing. And so they say 7. And then the next step is, great, why do you feel it's a 7? Very important question.
Is that
And then,
awareness, right?
yeah. And then the next question is, okay, what would it take to get to an 8? We're not talking 10 because that's a 3-level jump. Let's say you said it was 4. Well, that's an even greater jump, right? And you and I have talked about this before in regards to the whole idea of success amnesia. You can't get to that big place, that high, lofty goal, without climbing the mountain to the high, lofty goal step by step. You don't jump from, you know, base camp to the summit of Everest. That's not the way life works. And so the question then becomes, what am I doing on a daily basis to drive incremental growth that at some point will get me to that place? Because if we keep focusing on the largesse of the goal versus the steps to achieve it, that's where we get frustrated.
So you're saying, and let's just give a real life example. I'm an associate dentist. I've been out 3 years. I'm making 175K. I'd really like to own my own practice soon, and I'd really like to be making 400K. So you're saying instead of being overwhelmed by this idea of, well, I've got to get a broker, and then I've got to buy a practice, and then I've got to grow a team, and then I've got to bring my practice from 500K to a 1.5 million, and then I've got to do all this. What you should focus on is just, I need to get the broker, like the first
So
step.
I'm glad you asked it in that way because you just made me think of something that's really critically important, which is the answer is both. And you might be thinking I'm speaking out of both sides of my mouth, but I'm not. We have to have the overarching vision. And so what I was walked through when I first hired my first coach, Justin Patton, was a detailed visioning exercise in writing of what my life would look like in a couple of years. Fun fact and side note, I just found that the other day. I wrote it in 2016, so almost 10 years
Wow.
ago. So fun fact, I came upon it about a month ago and it scared me how much of it I actually did. And so the detailed envisioning of what your life wants to look like. So, for example, mine was a mix of personal and professional. So it stated stuff like, I want to get up in the morning in my home and walk out into a large kind of open air room, and I look out at the pool in the backyard, et cetera, et cetera. I didn't have any of that in 2016. I
I know
do
you do not.
now. I do now. And so in the detail visioning creates the stepwise process. So once we have that overt vision, then it becomes the idea of, okay, so what's the next step to achieve said vision? And in that case, it might be, yeah, hiring a broker. Now, I would even argue that maybe it's not even that. Maybe it's ask 5 friends if they know a broker, or post on Dental Nachos for a broker, or one of the other groups on Facebook. So it is actually both. We have to have a larger vision and then take a step back. It's almost like David Allen's concepts of project versus to-do list that I actually go through in my online course. I pay homage to a lot of his concepts where, buying a practice is your project, and then all the steps to get there is what creates or is the body of the project. And then we need to go through kind of a categorization of, okay, what's the next first step that's going to bring me forward? And sometimes those steps are really, really minor.
Well, I love the example that you've given before when we speak together, which is I need to hire an assistant. And the, what shouldn't be on your list, or maybe what shouldn't be a checkoff box is hire assistant, right? It should be define assistant role, right? Job description, post it on LinkedIn or send it to your friends or go to a local dental assisting school and post it there. Like those are steps that get you one step closer to that end goal.
100%.
And then
And
it's less overwhelming too.
and that's the key. I'm glad you said that, because if you're sitting there as a practice owner or a potential practice owner, either way, you're working full time, right? And you see hire assistant, buy equipment, blah blah blah, you will be overwhelmed in a hot minute. But if it could even be, I'll even take a step back. It'll be find time, find an hour on my calendar next week to write job description. I mean, think about it. I mean, how powerful is that? Because, we can sit here and say to ourselves, I should find the time, I should find the time. You can shit all over yourself all day long, right? And so if your next step is find an hour next week to sit down and write the job description, I almost guarantee it'll get done versus hire a team member.
I want to share a little bit about my journey with this because, you know, we talked about business, personal, and life, and one is greater than zero. And for me, when I was in my depths of burnout, I was focusing mostly on business, right? How, or, yeah, I would say profession. How I need to get better at my profession so that I don't feel as bad, really, was what. And what was really interesting was as I focused on getting better at setting boundaries, setting expectations, being a better communicator, being a better listener. I mean, if you think, if you listen to those things I just mentioned, none of those are dental related. And so as I became better at setting boundaries with patients, I became better at setting boundaries with friends.
Oh,
I became
100%.
better at setting boundaries with strangers. I became better at setting boundaries with myself. I'm mentioning this because with my story was as I became a better dentist, owner, operator, clinician, I became a better person. I became a better husband. I became a better father. I became a better neighbor. And I think it's vice versa too. Even if you focus just on the personal side, you become a better person in your profession.
Absolutely. And so I'll give another example that I was reminded of this past weekend. I love to cook. You know that. You've been the
I do.
beneficiary of my cookies several times.
I have.
And in fact, by the way, years ago, when I was still in practice, I would actually finish work. This was about a year and a half length of time. Like 3 days a week, I would go. I happen to live right near two cookbook authors, and I was a test cook for cookbook authors.
Really?
So that tells you how much I love to cook. So it was kind of like science lab, to be honest with you. So in 2020, after 25 years, I finally had enough. I had, and I'm not exaggerating, like a 10-inch high pile of printed recipes. And every time I wanted to make something, I had to go through the whole pile, and it was a nightmare. And I finally had enough. And so I committed to put every single printout in a plastic sleeve, alphabetize it, categorize it, and put it in a three-ring binder. Well, that idea was overwhelming until I said, which is why I didn't do it for 25 years, until I said to myself, you know what? I can put 10 pieces of paper in 10 plastic sleeves per night. And it'll probably take me maybe 2 months to complete, but then it'll be done. Fast forward, I ended up creating, you ready for this? Three-inch three-ring binders full of recipes. There's over 600 recipes in there. They're all categorized, alphabetized, etc. And it's paid me dividends over and over and over again because I can find stuff immediately. But it took me 2, 3 months. But you know what? Every night where I sat down and did 10, by the way, as you might imagine, sometimes I did 20 or even 50 if I was in the mood. It gave me such motivation to keep going. And the important point is, I didn't finish it in 2 days. I finished it in 2 months. But the act of one being greater than zero kept me motivated. And so, there's that Heather Small song that kept me motivated when I became disabled. What have you done today to make yourself feel proud? You know, it doesn't need to be much. It just needs to be something.
And so, do you think this idea of one is greater than zero, especially in the dental office, do you think it's more about habits than goals?
I
How
think
do you
it's,
look at those two in
it's a
comparison?
great question. I think it's a little bit of both. I think you need to have the goal in mind and then the habit supports it. So it's funny you mention that because if you look at James Clear's book, Atomic Habits, and I talk about this in my lecture, he has out, oh, this is so cool. I can't believe he asked me this. He has outcome-based habits and identity-based habits. And he goes through the idea that most of us look at habits as outcome-based, meaning you're looking to do something versus identity based. So like it's n new in the new year. So, you want to go to the gym more. Is the habit going to the gym? That's the outcome. Or is the habit, I want to be a healthy person? That's the identity. So, a lot of my clients that I've worked with have either completed or are in the middle of going through an exercise of like standard operating procedures or creating checklists. I know you have a lot of experience with this. And I think this one is greater than zero concept is really important with that, particularly if you have none of that today. Because the truth of the matter is, how many times have you heard either yourself say to yourself or you hear other people say, I just don't have time? Well, I guarantee you have 10 to 20 minutes somewhere, particularly if you sequester that. So the habit of 10 to 20 minutes of working on a checklist will then create the goal of having that standard operating procedure. But the motivating factor is that we are an office that prides ourselves on, understanding what, when, and how, and why we're doing X, Y, and Z. Okay.
That identity topic really speaks to me too, because I think when I have an identity, it pushes me a little bit to do the thing. It's like, no, Kelly, you're the person
Correct.
that doesn't do this, or you're the person that
Correct.
does do this.
Correct. Correct.
And it's like it's a boundary with myself, really.
Yeah. Correct. Yeah.
You're the
He talks a
person
lot
that's
about
going to the
that.
gym, you're the person that's eating
Yeah.
right, or you're the person that's doing this. Like it becomes an identity. And I think when you think about identity, of course, it can be a negative thing as well. Especially
Sure.
with dentistry
Oh,
that
yeah.
I've seen is you're a dentist and that's your identity. And so, you can't take time off, or you
Right.
have to work while you're at home, or
Right.
you have to
Right.
just keep getting better
Right.
clinically, or that can kind of drive you into the wrong place.
It's true. And my universal antidote question for that is, how true is that? Right. And so if you ever find yourself, and I use this, I swear, almost every day, when I find myself making a statement to myself that's more globalistic in nature, like several of the examples you just shared, the minute I catch myself and realize that I'm globalizing something, I stop and I go, how true is that?
I know you had an experience
Mm-hmm.
recently where you used your one is greater than zero when you were traveling, right? When you were in
Which,
Mexico.
yeah, help me
With your
out.
Duolingo.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah. No, this is super cool. So, I'm 600 and I don't remember 36 days or something. It's my widget's just showing me I have to do it today. It doesn't give me
That's
the.
crazy, first of all, just that you've
Yeah.
done anything besides like eat, sleep, and go to the bathroom for that many days in a row, because you travel, you're in different time zones,
True.
you're busy,
It's
you
true.
know.
Yeah. And to be fair, the app does have like free freeze days where like if you miss a day, but I swear in 636 days, it's maybe 5 days I've missed total. I mean,
And
seriously.
so, first of all, tell people who may not know what Duolingo
Yeah.
is.
So Duolingo is a language learning app. They have probably 30, 50 languages that you could learn. They even have, you can learn math on there too.
Okay.
But it's done through the science of learning and it's done incrementally. They gamify it. I have all kinds of friends that are on there and it's done in short bursts. And so the minimum time, I've never really marked it, but the minimum time you have to spend on it is maybe like 5 minutes a day. And so there are days where I've spent 5 minutes. There are some days where I spent like 2 hours, right? But just the one is greater than zero concept of learning a little bit every day allowed me a couple weeks ago when I was in Mexico City to actually effectively speak Spanish. Now, was I
Crazy.
fluent? No. But what was really cool about the experience was how much I understood, both in the spoken and in particular the written word. Like, did I understand every single thing on a sign or a placard? No, but I damn sure got the gist of it. And that was so empowering for me and proof positive of this one is greater than zero concept, right?
Well, it's a great example of I don't have the time. You know, I'm a busy
Oh, yeah.
dentist, I'm a practice
Yeah.
owner,
Yeah.
I work at the university, I'm also a parent, and you
Yeah.
know, my husband
Yeah.
or wife also has another business that I kind of help on too, and I don't have to learn a new language. What are you talking about? I don't have time to
Yeah.
learn a new language.
Yeah, exactly. In 5 minutes
I
a
think
day.
with that, I don't have time to learn a new language. What you're saying is I don't have time to learn a new language in a month. But
Correct.
look, in a year, in 2 years,
Correct.
you've gotten to the point where
Correct.
you can get around another country and
Yeah.
feel fairly comfortable.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was amazing. I mean, there's a reason why, and you know this in my online course, the second lesson is a time and task audit. Where I literally give people tools to look at their day. And I do it kind of tongue in cheek because I think it's needed to do it that way to get people's attention. Like even in the morning, because one of my favorite examples of one is greater than zero is actually reading. Because I hear from, especially dental professionals, we're learned people. Many of us like to read, not all. And by the way, some people like Audible, not the actual words. Okay, fine. And they go, I don't have time. I'm like, yeah, you do. You have 10 minutes here and 10 minutes there. And if you go through a time and task audit, and like I even tongue in cheek say, okay, so let's say you get up at 6 and you leave the house at 7:30. Well, that's 90 minutes. Okay, I get it. You got to shower, walk the dog, take care of the kids. I get it. But we got to first understand how much time we have available, then fill in what we're doing within that time to then understand, are we time broke or time drunk because we're sitting on Instagram for 3 hours? Like,
And
unless we look at it, we don't
that
know.
goes back to a podcast we did, I don't know, a few months ago about priorities and values. And I was talking to a dentist the other day, and I was talking to them about, again, a topic we've talked about before, which is showing up as your best person, which to me means sleeping well, eating well, lowering your stress, you know, having good relationships, all the dream sequence that I talk about in all of our courses. And they were like, but I don't have time to go to the gym. And I was talking to them about what you talk about, which was like, go to your phone. And this is always the thing I say, go to your phone. First thing, look at how much screen time you have per day. You think you're working 8 hours a day, or, you know, I'm working 8 hours a day, and then I'm with my family for 2 hours, and then I've got to sleep, and I've got to this. You have the time. It's just the priorities, or it's the establishing your values and then prioritizing those values. And like for me, I go to the gym after my kids go to bed. So I'm there, like I get there between 8:30 and 9 maybe. Now, I would love to put my kids to bed and just kind of chill or watch TV or whatever, but I've prioritized going to the gym. And I think what's important to understand is that it does take away from other things,
Oh, a
right?
hundred
Like
percent.
there's times when, I don't go to the gym every day, but there's times when my wife would be like, "Hey, I'd love to watch this movie with you," which is important to me. And so I'll prioritize that, let's say in that day once kids. But I think it's understanding your values and then prioritizing them. And then you can make the one is greater than zero concept work. But it's interesting how we've come about this in this conversation, which was started with one is greater than zero. And now both what you're talking about with time audit and with priorities and values, which is maybe the first step, is knowing what your values are, then prioritizing them, then doing the time audit, which will kind of show you what you think your priorities are and what your actual priorities are. Because so many people say health is a big priority, or my family is a they're number one. But if you say take out your calendar and let's look at how much time you're allotting for these people or these activities or this thing, it's probably not true. And I was guilty of that. If you asked me, I would say, "Oh my gosh, my family is my number one priority." But there were times when I picked my patients over my family. The example that I've given many times is my wife's grandma's funeral. I didn't go because I was working. That's it. I just had a patient. And I remember her coming back from the funeral and saying, "Oh, everyone was wondering where you were." And I was like, "What do you mean I have to work? Like, what, these people don't have to work?" And it's so crazy for me to think that someone's spouse wouldn't come to their grandparents' funeral. And that was me.
Well, and here's the other thing that I think gets in people's way, which is the judgment of the accomplishment. And so what do I mean by that? So let's say, for example, you can't get to the gym. Well, I have a couple different apps on my phone. I got like a yoga app, another app by Better Me that like does chair calisthenics. I've got an Oculus VR headset where I play games that are physical fitness oriented. And so if you can't go to the gym, one is greater than zero. If you could pull out an app and do yoga for 10 minutes or 15 minutes, that's beneficial. And so
Yeah, do
I've
lunges in
noticed,
your kitchen or push-ups. Yeah.
I've noticed this about myself. I've noticed this about my clients. I've noticed this about just people in general. We make this commitment, but then on top of it, what we do is we make these judgments of like not enough. And it's like, who the hell ever made those rules? And the older I get, and the more people I interact with, this concept of aim smart that was in my first coaching certification curriculum really, really speaks to me. And so if people aren't familiar with SMART goals, they're specific, measurable, attainable, relatable, and timely. Basically, what are you going to do? Can you quantify it? Is it realistic? And when are you going to do it by? And but they added this other element, which is basically, to paraphrase, what's the most you want to do? What's kind of a happy middle ground? And if I just did this, would it be enough? So if it's going to the gym 3 days a week, and for whatever reason, or sorry, if it's going to the gym 4 days a week, maybe that's your ultimate, then a middle ground would be 2 to 3. But at minimum, I'm going to do chair yoga at home through the app for 10 minutes. You see how this works? It's giving yourself options that keep yourself moving forward and doesn't play into these mental calisthenic games of it's not good enough because I wasn't at the gym for 65 minutes or
Well,
whatever.
I think I can, if I extrapolate that into the example that we were talking about before, which is I need to hire a new assistant. Like, if all you have time today to do is pull up your words, your Word or your Pages, whether you're using Apple or Microsoft, and save a document that says assistant,
100%.
job description,
100%.
perfect. So that tomorrow, when you come, and let's say in between a patient, you've got another 15 minutes, then you can make like a 5-point outline. And then great.
100%.
And then you can go through, and the next day you do a little bit more, and you do a little bit more. And I mean, I see this all the time with research when I write research. I mean, I don't know, I would assume most people think that we researchers just sit down and write, a 4-page research article, right? No, I mean, there's multiple authors. I have research articles that we've been working on for years. Like right now, there's one that I'm doing with Christian Coachman where we're waiting for just a perfect patient photo that displays what we're trying to show. And most of the article has been written for like a year or more. And so it's like we started out, honestly, like 3 years ago with the concept. And then over time, we're all in different countries, we're all over the world. So over time, then it was an outline, and then it was a detailed outline. And then we started taking each outline section and making those paragraphs. And then we had the whole thing, then we refine it, then we go back and find the references, right? And I think that's life.
It is, and what I will also say is this, which is hugely important. Oftentimes, what I see both myself and others is that you allow yourself to stew in that judgment place of, I don't have enough time to do X right now, but I guarantee you the antidote is doing anything. If all you did was go in to use your example and save the document, I absolutely guarantee you're going to feel good about that.
And the ball is
100%.
rolling.
100%. The toughest step to take in any project is the first one.
Yeah.
Period. You know?
Well, that's why your book that's coming out is called Move.
Exactly. Take the damn first step. Yeah, it's true. It's true. It's true.
And the
And
first step can be the hardest, too. I know with. Well, first of all, you're not going to take the first step unless you have the realization or the awareness that that needs to happen. And so for me, the reason why in burnout and, anxiety and depression was I didn't even realize I was there. So my step zero was that realization that I was in a different place. Then my step one, was hard, but I knew that I had to do that.
Totally. It's like that book, Make Your Bed First Thing in the Morning. Like making your bed is not a huge lift, but then they talk all about the research of how in your brain, when you accomplish any task, no matter how small, it sets your brain up for this achievement, shall we say, mindset, that's my paraphrasing, of doing the next thing. And so doing one, which is greater than zero, regardless of what that one is, can be a huge benefit. And so I think my challenge to people would be, okay, so make a list of the frustrating things that you haven't gotten the time to do, or that you've been telling yourself that you haven't gotten the time to do, and make a list of those things. I would then argue that I would prioritize those things. Then I would sit back and I'd say, how would my life be different if I were able to accomplish it? And how would I feel? And then just figure out what's the first step to do it, whatever that first step is. And I promise you, going through that little exercise will kickstart you into a different tomorrow. I've seen it over and over and over again.
This really relates to dentists, I think, because we love achievement. We love the feeling of accomplishment. I mean, I am one of these people. I will, let's say I have sometimes I'll plan like over the holiday break, I usually have a list of things I want to do. I want to clean out the garage. I want to trim some of the bushes outside. I want to buy this gift for a friend, whatever. And sometimes I'll do something that wasn't on the list. I'll go back after it's done, add
Oh,
it to
yeah.
the list, and then
Totally.
check it off.
Totally.
Just so that at the end I can see, wow, look at how
Totally.
far I've come.
Totally, totally, totally. And what I'll say is, for dentists, particularly that are practice owners or associates that have responsibilities in the practice over and above clinical, we've got to recognize and acknowledge the fact that you can't do two things at the same time.
Yes.
And so our lives by default can be complicated or are complicated because you can't do two things at the same time. So therefore, if you end up having a reasonably large list, which many people do, what gets us into trouble is two things. It's prioritization and scheduling. That's why, as part of the time task audit in my course, we talk about the Eisenhower matrix. Do it now, schedule it, which is what makes or breaks most people. Delegate it or eliminate it. And so, how many times have you thought to yourself, I'll just use an example that is relevant to your house and your practice. Let's say every 3 months you need to change the air filters, right? And you're the one that does it, right? And you go, damn it, I always forget to change the air filters. Well, I'll tell you why you forget to change the air filters, because you didn't put it on your calendar. You
Yes.
didn't schedule it. And by the way, when you schedule it, not only will it likely get done, the stress of you needing to remember, shoot, I got to change the filters, goes away, because guess where it is? It's on your calendar. And so that's a very minor example of how creating just a little bit more structure in your life to schedule things so that, that one on that day could be changing one of the air filters, like the dirtiest one. And then you're going to feel good. And then the next day you do another one and another one. Or maybe you do the rest of them the next day because you got all excited because you did the first one. I mean, it's a stupid, silly example, but it's the
Yeah.
way everything in life works. So.
Well, it's kind of like how people should schedule on May 9th and 10th that they should come to Southern California and hang out with us.
Well, actually, wouldn't it be May 8th because I got to travel to California?
That's
But,
true. Even better. Yes. If you don't live in California, that's true. You got to fly in on May 8th. So, yeah, guys, we're doing our Lightside Live 2-day transformational workshop at Glidewell Lab in Southern California, just a few minutes from Disneyland and from Newport Beach and really some beautiful areas. So, feel free to bring your kids, bring your spouses. It's a great place. We just did this course back in November, and it was incredible. I mean,
It was amazing. And if you're listening to this as it is released, we do have an early bird tuition offer that is through January 30th of 2025, and it's hefty. It's about a ho it's about the value of a hotel night. So
yeah.
it's a good early bird. So if you're thinking about joining us, just schedule it.
That's right. Go to wellnessanddentistry.com and look at our links, and you'll find our links to our workshop. Or you could also go to lightsidedentistry.com too. Well, I think this is a good topic. This was something that I needed many years ago, and I still need to be reminded of all the time. I've gotten better at prioritizing. I've gotten better at knowing my values for sure. I think I could still get better at prioritizing. I think from the value side, I've gotten pretty good. But the prioritization, I need constant reminders on like anything. You know, it's like going to the gym. I need constant reminders. I need the mental reminder of prioritizing it.
Yeah, and I think it gets easier the more you do it, I mean, full transparency, I had a horrible night's sleep. I'm really not feeling that well. And at the same time, this is very important to me to not only keep on our schedule, but to, keep on my friend's schedule, meaning you. And so there's some other stuff during today that I'm putting on the back burner so I can go rest, but this is important to me, and so I'm here.
Yeah.
So, that's it's ubiquitous. It works for everything. So,
Yeah. Well, we appreciate you guys listening. We'd love to hear from you. If you have any recommendations, people you'd like to hear from, any topics, just DM us on Instagram, or you can contact us at wellnessanddentistry.com. And if you're interested in any of our online courses, any of our in-person courses, coaching, having either of us or both of us out to speak at your study club, just go to wellnessanddentistry.com. And we're so thankful to have you guys as colleagues and friends. And we'll see you on the next episode.
Take care.